like to mark in your book 744, Mirror Invitation.
Well, good morning. It's certainly nice to see everybody here. We appreciate you being here with us this morning. And as has been mentioned, if you are visiting with us, we're so thankful that you're here, and please come back at every opportunity that you can. It is a pleasure for Becky and I to be back here with you this morning. And we always look forward to coming back and being a part in our drive up each day. And it's just a beautiful drive, and we enjoy being up here. Maria and her daughter, Christina, lived in a very poor neighborhood on the outskirts of a Brazilian village. Maria's husband had died when Christina was just an infant. And this young mother stubbornly decided not to remarry. She got a job and she raised her young daughter. Christina was now turning 15 years of age, and the worst of the years were over. Though Maria's salary as a maid afforded very few luxuries, they were able to survive and have the things that they needed, food and clothing and shelter. But now Christina was old enough to go out and begin work herself. Some people say that Christina got her independence from her mother. Christina kind of stood back at arm's length from the old traditional idea of marrying young. And it wasn't because she couldn't have any man that she wanted there in the village, because she was a beautiful young girl with bright brown eyes and beautiful hair, and made each man that had that special feeling of being a king when they were around her. Christina often spoke about wanting to go into the big city. She dreamed of trading this dusty neighborhood for exciting venues and avenues and city life. Just the thought of this terrified her mother. Maria was always quick to remind Christina that the harshness that was there in the big city and the streets. And she would say, "People don't know you. Jobs are very scarce and life is very cruel there in the city. And besides, if you went there, what would you do for a living?" But Maria knew exactly what Christina would do, or would have to do for a living. That's why it broke her heart one morning when she woke up and she went in and she found her daughter's bed empty. Maria knew exactly what she needed to do, so she gathered together some clothes and some things, and she got all the money that she could get, and she ran out of the house. On the way down to the bus station, she stopped by a local drugstore and she went in and had one of those little booths where you could take many, many black and white pictures of yourself. And she spent some of her money and she made several pictures and she put them in her purse and she boarded the bus going to Rio de Janeiro. She knew where she would probably find Christina, because she knew she had no way of earning money. And with the stubbornness of her daughter, that when pride and hunger come together, human being will do things that are unthinkable. Knowing this, Maria went to all of the different bars and all the hotels, and all the nightclubs, and any place where there was a reputation for prostitutes hanging out. As she went to each place, she took one of the pictures that she had taken, and while she was riding on the bus, it had written a note on the back of each one of the pictures. And she would place them on in a bathroom window, on a mirror, or maybe on a bulletin board inside of a hotel, or maybe on a phone booth on a corner, hoping that her daughter would see one of them. It wasn't long till her money ran out and she had to return home without finding Christina. It broke her heart. And on that long bus ride home, she wept. It was just a few weeks later that one morning Christina was descending down the hotel stairs. Her young face was now tired. Her brown eyes that once glowed and twinkled spoke of only pain and of fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. A thousand times she had wished and longed to have traded the countless beds that she laid in for her secure pallet back home. As Christina reached the bottom of the stairs, she looked, and across the lobby, she saw a picture. It was a picture of her mom. As she walked closer to that picture, her eyes began to burn and her throat began to tighten up. And she removed the small photo from that bulletin board there in the hotel. And on the back of it was written this very compelling invitation. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. Have you ever really done something in your past that you're ashamed of? I think all of us could probably answer that question yes. Have you ever felt that you've disappointed God in such a way and to the extent that He could never love you again? Or accept you into heaven? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just erase all certain parts of our lives that have disappointed God? When I was a kid growing up, they had a toy, and I bought one for our son when he was little. It's called an Etch-a-Sketch. You know what I'm talking about, the little red, had the thing, and you could draw on those things and make different things. And I've seen people make just phenomenal pictures on those things. I never could. But the good thing about it, if you ever messed up, all you had to do is take it, shake it. It was all gone. You had a clean slate. You could start over again. Well, folks, this morning I want to tell you some great news, that it is possible for all of us to start over with God. We can have all of our past sins erased. We can have every evil thought eradicated from our minds. We can have all of our disappointments with God exterminated. This morning, in the few moments that we have together, I want us to talk on how we can start over with God. I think first, when we want to start over with God, we must realize the quality of God's mercy and of His grace. I remember back when I was 19 years old, before I became a Christian, that I distinctly remember that the thought crossed my mind that even if I became a Christian, that God would never love me or accept me into heaven because of the sins that I have committed, that I was too bad. For years, I looked at God as an unforgiving and unmerciful God who took pleasure in punishing people in my mind. But as certain people, Becky and people in my life, began to share God's Word with me and I began to study God's Word, I discovered that God is exactly the opposite of what I thought He was. God is not an unmerciful and unforgiving God. Instead, God is a merciful and forgiving God who does not enjoy punishing us. Back in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, Ezekiel wrote this, "And say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" Back in 1935, one night in New York City, Mayor LaGuardia decided to show up in one of the courts at one of the poorest wards of the city. The judge in that district had a great reputation as being a very harsh judge, very hard, who gave out the maximum sentences for everything that he found. You knew that if you went before that judge that you were going to be given the maximum penalty. But on this particular evening, Mayor LaGuardia dismissed that judge and he decided to take over the bench. And he took the cases that night. Well, there was one case that involved a very elderly woman who came in who had been caught stealing bread to feed her family. Mayor LaGuardia asked her how she pleaded. She said, "Well, sir, I'm guilty." And he says, "Then I have to punish you." He says, "That will be $10 or 10 days in jail." It was obvious, of course, that she couldn't pay the $10. So Mayor LaGuardia, the judge that night, took $10 out of his pocket and he paid her fine. Then he fined everyone that was sitting in that courtroom that night 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. The hat was passed around and the woman left the courtroom with her fine paid and $47.50 in her pocket. Solely out of the goodness of the mayor of New York City, this woman was helped when she could not help herself. He gave her an opportunity to pay her debts and start over again. Our God is that kind of judge. He has mercy so much that He has paid the penalty for our sins. He has given us the opportunity to start over again. God is a merciful God, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, that He is rich in mercy. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, God has great mercy. And in 136 Psalms, 26 times in that one Psalm, it mentions God's loving kindness is everlasting. God is strong in mercy and strong in kindness. These are the nature of God. I saw someone list one time that there are over 200 verses in God.